Accession number 32971, reel 6.
Bill Machin, take 3, side A. You were just telling me that you arrived in Normandy on Sword Beach, was it? On Sword Beach. In Normandy, Sword Beach.
It was either Juno or Sword. It was a place called Asnay near Corsoules. As far as I can remember now.
Yes, Juno Beach.
Yes, I think it was more Juno than Sword. Yes, it was Juno.
And that was D-Day plus 6.
D-Day plus 6. And we made a wet landing. We our vehicles were waterproofed. And we had to come down the ramps and drive in the water up to here, driving, you know, with the edible water. And we got on the beach.
What were you driving?
I was a sergeant, and I was in charge of coming ashore on the first vehicle, you see. I didn't drive it.
No.
One of the drivers was driving it, and I was...
Is that a lorry?
Oh, yeah, yes. 3-ton Thornycrofts. Was it? Or Bedford's? No, Thornycrofts, that's right. We got fitted out with Thornycrofts. Yeah, Thornycrofts. And, most of them were loaded with 25-pound shells.
And then...
And we got on the beach, and there's a beach marshal there with a stick. We got to the beach, and there's a taped... taped area from where we landed, where we got ashore with the vehicles, and we had to go between these tapes until we got onto the off the beach and onto the road running across, you know, like the night school, the Esplanade, whatever it was. And they taped it so that, because there's mines all over the place, but that area was cleared with mines, and they taped it, you see, we're running ashore. And we got through the sand dunes onto the road area. And going through the sand dunes off the beach, I always remember seeing some crosses, just ordinary wooden crosses, stuck in the ground with a name on. And there were 7th Dedans. I always remember that. They got killed, you know, probably on D-Day. I was under that, these crosses. And and from there, we drove inland for about into the beachhead, I say about 5 miles, to a place called Crewley, C-R-E-A-U-L-L-Y, Crewley. And that was our area. For quite a time until they captured Khan. It was all in this beachhead for quite a time, right? Going into July, wasn't it? Operation.
Did you come under attack then?
No, a lot of artillery fire. We came under a lot of artillery fire, and at Crewley, and we used to dig. In fields around Crewley, and we used to dig what we call slit trenches, and we used to sleep in them at night time. You dug your own slit trench, you know, like a little grave, really, to protect us from the artillery fire, because we got a few casualties with the artillery fire. And we was working in that beachhead until they broke out at Khan, until they captured Khan, and if your memory serves me right, I think Khan.
It was about a month, wasn't it, after they landed?
Yes, it was into July. Mm. And the operation code name, I think it was Epsom. Epsom, I think they called it. Yeah. No, for the going in.
Yes.
Anyway, and it took quite a time to clear Khan. And then we started moving up then, up through Normandy, through.
During this time, were you ferrying 25-pound shells to the artillery units?
Yes, that's right, yes. But we until they'd got through, until they took Caen, there wasn't a lot we could do. Mm. I mean, there's no movement as regards our artillery guns, you know, there wasn't a lot we could do. We didn't do a lot until they captured Caen and broke out and started moving up through Normandy, through Falaise, was it, and Argentan. And then we crossed the Seine just downriver from, just downriver from Rouen. I forget the name of the place, but it was a bridge that...
Vernon, was it? At Vernon?
Somewhere near Vernon, yes. And it was a bridge the Royal Engineers had put up, Bailey Bridge. The bridge further up the river, Rouen, was intact, but it got damaged a lot, and a lot of traffic going over them, tanks and all. And of course, the RA used to put up a Bailey Bridge further down the river. And they also put quite a few pontoon bridges up, down and down, you know, down the river. Anyway, we crossed the river there. That would be about September the 6th, something like that. Definitely. And off we went, like the clappers then, you know, through Amiens and Arras and Cambrai. And I remember halting for the night just outside Cambrai with my platoon, and I said to the... Oh, we was on our way then to Belgium, you see. To Belgium and Holland. The forward troops were already up there. And we halted for a night at Cambrai, and 4 years previous, in 1940, I was billeted on this farm at a place called... Sailey, a little village between Cambrai and Douai. I was on this farm. I was there for about 7 months during the Foamy War period. So I settled my platoon in that night just outside Cambrai, and I said, next morning we're up early and we're off towards Brussels. And I said to my platoon officer, I explained, I said, 4 years ago, I said, I was just down the road there billeted. I said, I'd like to go and see if the people are still there. So I said, you know where I am? He said, yes, all right, Sergeant, as long as you get back by 7 o'clock in the morning, ready for us to work, right? So I got my motorbike, and off I went down to this village where I was 4 years previous. I was there last October at this village. And off I went on my motorbike into the... drove into a farmyard, and I'd got my helmet on, of course, and we'd all had what you call a Normandy crop when we landed, all of it off, you know. Got me a helmet. Drove into this farmyard, and one of the daughters, she'd be about, well, say I was with her last October, she was 70 odd then, but this particular time, she'd be about 12, I suppose, and she recognised me. She come running down, oh, Monsieur Machin, put her arms round me, knocked my helmet off, and of course I'm as bald as a badger. Oh, she said, Allemund. Because yeah, the Germans used to have crop there. Yeah. Oh, Allemund. Well, of course they made awful fuss of me, and the mother, she run out, and she had a big family, and she went into the farmyard, and next minute they'd squawking, she'd wring the chicken's neck, and come and plucked it, and put it on, you know, and dug a bottle of wine up from somewhere. Anyway, they gave me a right meal, and I stayed the night there. And then put her up about 6 next morning, off to. And since the war, we've visited that area very often, practically every year. We've kept in touch with them all. Mm. And what my children now are grandmas and granddads, you know, 70s, and last time we were there, October. And, anyway, then I got my bike next morning up to where my platoon was near Cambrai. And off we went, up through Brussels, And we got on the Belgium-Holland border about the day before Arnhem started, and that started on the 17th, I think.
17th of September, yes.
We got there about 16th on the Belgium-Holland border. I think it was near the Albert Canal.
Yeah.
I think it was near there, my mummy told me, right? I'm trying to think of the name of the village, but I can't. I think it was near Hammond, place called Hammond. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is the day before Arnhem. We didn't know anything about that, of course. The next day Arnhem started on the 17th, would it be? That's like the 17th to about, only lasted about a week, did it?
Nine days, 26th.
And settled in near this village, and then I got orders, or my platoon officer got orders, that we're to go. You know, Arnhem had started then, and they'd taken Eindhoven. Our troops hadn't, the Americans had landed, American patrols on Eindhoven. They'd taken Eindhoven, and our platoon got orders to go to join a Royal Engineers field company in the Guards Armoured Division, because we were in 8 Corps, but they sent it over for some reason or other to this field company to help them out, I suppose. They used to do it, of course. Field company of Royal Engineers, at a place called Borkensvoort. I remember that. It was near Arnhem, near Eindhoven. And we got there, and we were transporting, not ammunition then, for them, we was transporting bridging materials. Was going up following the tanks and spearhead troops. And, of course, a lot of the bridges that were crossing had got damaged by German artillery fire and all that. And we was transporting all these bridging materials for repairing the bridges. And we were under terrible fire, you know, artillery fire from, because we were running another corridor like this, and the Germans over there, and Germans over there. You know. And we were transporting these materials and for the REs. And I think we got as far as Grave. Yeah. Went Son, Vagel. I think we got as far as Grave when the old job collapsed. And of course we had to come back then, came back. And we came back to a place called Helmond. H-E-L-M-O-N-D. And this brought to mind last week, or a fortnight ago, on the TV, the people in Afghanistan, four of them in this armoured car, you hear about it, they run into a canal, didn't they, and get drowned, and it brought it back to me. We weren't in Helmand, that was in Helmand province in Afghanistan. The place I was in was Helmond in Holland. And the same thing happened while I was there. We got to Helmond, and we commandeered a building, a house or an old shop or something, for a platoon headquarters in Helmond. It was a small town, lovely place. Canal running through it. I think it was a Wilhelm canal there, it was a Wilhelm Minero, Wilhelm something. Anyway, I'm sat in this platoon office one morning and doing some work. And the chap come dashing in. He said, "Oh, Sergeant, come quick." He says, "There's a vehicle run into the canal." I dashed out, went round the bend to where this canal was going through the town. All I could see in the canal was bubbles coming up. An armoured car had been coming round this bend, run off the road into the canal. I think there's about 3 people in it. Don't come to a thing about it. Don't need your watch. And it brought it all back a fortnight ago. Because that was Helmand, and this is Helmand, you know, amazing, wasn't it? Right, and Helmand, and then, of course,
did you have a good welcome from the Dutch people?
Oh, yes. The Dutch people, I think they're marvellous. They were absolutely starving. The Germans treated them shocking, worse than any other country, you know, worse than France or Belgium or anywhere. The Dutch people, they're terrible. And next door neighbours, you know. but they were lovely people. I admire them. I'm looking forward to meeting them in September again. Anyway, then from Helmond, of course, what are we now with? End of September, aren't we? 44. We settled down.
So you got as far as Graf before the operation was like called to halt and.
Grave, that's right, Grave.
Mm. That was when the operation finished and you had to settle down for the winter?
Yeah, well, we came down to Helmond.
To Helmond then, yeah.
But then from Helmond, we didn't stay there a long time. We used to move about a lot, you know. And I went to a place, I think it was called Dern. D-E-A-U-N, Dern. Somewhere around that area. We went to a place there, and I remember we was there. New Year's Day, 1945. And that's when we saw the last of the German air attacks. And of course they'd launched the attack in the Ardennes then, thrown everything into it, and on this New Year's Day they sent all the whatever planes they got over fighting from. And we were in Dern. I think it was, oh, it's like my platoon sleeping in a textile factory, like they were in Lancashire, on the concrete floors amongst the spinning machines, you know. And I remember this New Year's morning, and it was dead early, a lovely morning like this, and we're in this textile factory, and there came, the planes come swooping over, and they were that low you could see them through the window like that. You know, bombing and doing. And that was their last, Custer's last stand. You never saw any German planes again, not in combat. And that's right now. And then, of course, we were round down for quite March the 23rd. I won't forget that, because I got orders to go with my platoon again up to a place called Sonsbeck, on the banks of the Rhine. I shouldn't be talking about this, should I? Is it on the 23rd of March, 45, I got orders to take my platoon up. The platoon officer got the orders, but I'm next in command, I'm the sergeant. I got orders to take my platoon up to a place called Sonsbeck, on the banks of the Rhine. And the other side of the Rhine, on the opposite side, was the town of Wesel. B-E-S-S-E-L, Wesel. Anyway, I took them up to Sonsbeck on the 23rd.
What were you carrying?
Ammunition. Then, yeah. I was carrying the 25 pounds of you. Oh, no, just a minute. No, I think it was... No, it was with the RE's, that's right. Then with my platoon, the bridging materials and that. And field company RE's. But not the same one as when we went up to Grave. Because we'd attached them and sent the guards out, but we came back again then to 8 Corps, I suppose. But... Right, 23rd of
March. Yeah.
We're on the banks of the Rhine there at Sonsbeck. On the morning of the 24th, our Lancaster's bombers came over, and by the time they passed over us, you could nearly touch them, they were that low, because they were going just crossing the Rhine and dropping the bombs through the side on Wesel. You could see the bomb that we've laid down there. You know, best cover we could get, and watching them, and watching the bomb doors open and the bombs dropping. And they flattened Wesel. Right, and then, not long afterwards, probably 5 hours, something like that, the planes came over again, but this time they were towing gliders. Glider-borne troops. And that was a terrible mistake. I think it was the last glider-borne operation I ever did. It was awful, because they came over, swooped over again where we were, and you could see them playing the doors opening. That was the bomb. They're bringing the gliders over, and you could see the gliders being unhooked, you know, and going on their own, and landing in Wesel, various places. Well, and then the RE's quickly got a pontoon bridge over the Rhine, then from Sonsbeck to Wesel. And about the 25th, about the next day, it takes a bit of remembering all this detail, you know, all these years ago. 25th. We went over on this pontoon bridge into Wesel, and the place was absolutely flattened. And coming back to the gliders again, the gliders was hanging in trees, on top of old buildings, all over the place. Terrible. They lost no head in men.
I think they lost more there than they lost
in Ireland. Oh yes. Whoever planned that, I don't know, but it was horrible. At Arnhem, they had got decent dropping zones, you know, in fields and all this business. But they're just dropping in the middle of a bombed town in Wesel. And
so you got the pontoon bridge across.
Oh, that's right. We went over, and as I was saying, and it was chaos. I was just thinking about coming back to when we was in Ireland, and I volunteered for the glider pilot regiment. I told you that, didn't I?
You did.
I think you said it. And I looked at all these gliders, and I could have been one of those. Yeah. And did you say to me, that probably saved your life?
I did.
Yeah, it most likely. Anyway, then, of course, things started moving rapid. We went through Wesel and over the river Weser, named after Wesel, then up through Hanover, Hamelin, where the Pied Piper comes from, Pied Piper of Hamelin, wasn't it? Remember that story? And over Hamelin that way, and passed through Selly, C-E-E-L-L-E, where the infamous concentration camp.
Belsen.
Well, Belsen was, just outside Selly. Mm. You could smell it a mile off, you know.
Did you go in there?
No, we went past, didn't go in. And we went on, because we were moving rapid then, very rapid.
And what were you carrying then?
Oh, I think it was still with the REs, that's right, it was with the REs then. Carrying bridging. And we got up to Lunenburg. And anyway, I can't remember now whether it's from Lunenburg. We halted at Lunenburg for a while, because I remember there's some Russian prisoner of war camps around there, and they'd got. And they let them out, and they were running them out, you know, running wild. And most of them were these Mongolians, and I can see now that the squat man looked like that man. No disrespect to them, but. And they were creating havoc in Lunenburg. They were awful, raping women and robbing houses, and terrible were. And of course, they've got, they're all drunk with vodka. They've made this vodka themselves, you know. Anyway, I was there in Lunenburg, and I'm just trying to think now then. I remember the last big job we did with the REs was the last bridge, and it was over the Elbe at a place called Lohnberg. Lohnberg, L-A-U-N-B-E-R-G, Lohnberg. And my platoon was working with the REs on that bridge, taking the materials up. And I'm just trying to think whether it was from Lunenburg or whether we moved a bit further on. Anyway, we did the bridge at Lohnberg. And we lost more of our lads at that bridge than we had also the campaign.
Why is that?
Well, because it was the last bridge over the Elbe, and they were pushed back, all the generals were pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. And they were throwing everything they've got at the bridge. You see? And our drivers, you know, I remember we lost a couple of drivers, and they'd been all through the African campaign, you know, and then they got killed last week of the war, not killed at Lohnberg. Anyway, when they completed the bridge, they went over, of course, and we went over. And from Lohnberg, we ran up to Lübeck, which was, I don't know, about, probably about 50 miles or something like that, on the Baltic coast. And we got to Lübeck on the 7th of May, 45. And as I said before, the official announced that the war was ending on the 8th, the next day. And that was on my birthday, joint birthday. And when I got to Lübeck, the platoon officer said to me, he said, now, I want you to go into Lübeck. It was altered outside the city, beautiful place, Lübeck. Altered outside the city. So I want you to go into Lübeck and commandeer the best billets you can find. Because we never slept in a proper bed or a proper, you know, since for 11 months. So I got on the motorbike, went into Lübeck, had a quick look round, beautiful suburb where I went. I've been back since. And I've seen the road that I commandeered them. And there were lots of things to think about. I've got to find somewhere that was suitable for the vehicles to be parked as well, you see. So I found this lovely road, it's like a boulevard. You could park all the vehicles and all the big, lovely houses, you know. That was it. So I thought, now then, that one, I've got about, I think, to accommodate, and I thought, right, that's about, I want about 6 houses, you know, about 10 to 1,000. So there were these big houses, and I went up, knocked on the door, bang, bang, bang. It's awful, really, but I mean, that was it. And I always remember this German woman coming down, a young woman, and I said, this house, it was, a lot of them were like split into flats, you know. So I said, you're the owner, best way I could, you know, I'm German. Yes. I was, you know, well, 2 hours out, you've got to get out, you know. Mm-hmm. Best way I could make them understand bits of broken German. And take valuables, you know, and get out in 2 hours. And I did this to about 6 hours, I suppose.